الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wabarakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about your chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am not here to debate with any of you about my chosen faith, and I will not go back and forth with you over your chosen faith. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic Islam and what it is and what it is not. Also, please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin, and so you can have basically a listening party. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, and along with paper, pencil, pen, and some way of taking notes or keeping notes or recording on what we discussed today. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. And I want to also mention to you to please, if you can, this class is about telling you about Islam and perhaps bringing about some positive change and you bringing about some positive change in the world around you. And it's my hope that this particular class will inspire you to go out and change the world, even if just one person at a time. Today's topic is nearness to Allah, or being near to Allah, Qareeb Allah. In Surah Al-Asr, it is mentioned in this particular surah, which is one of the surahs in the Quran, where many of you, if you open up your Quran, you should be able to get to it. And that's going to be the 103rd surah, 103rd chapter of the Quran, and it's a very short chapter in the Quran, and it says, I'm gonna wait for you to get to it. That's 103rd chapter in the Quran. Hopefully you'll be able to get to that page. I'm gonna start off with just reading in Arabic, and then I'll read it in English. Walas innal insana lafi khus إلى الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. In this particular chapter, it says, verily, man is in loss except those who believe and do righteous deeds and recommend one another to truth and recommend one another to be patient. And just this short ayah, these few lines, it mentioned about man being in a loss, except for those who believe in Allah and do righteous deeds. Meaning getting close to Allah, and you don't have to see Allah, everything you have to see to believe in it, because air is in the air, we have air all around us, we don't see it, but we believe that it's there. And for Allah, in terms of Allah, you have to believe that Allah exists. It's about faith. It's about belief. People are going to have you think that, no, Allah does not exist because you can't see him, you can't touch him, you can't feel him. No, it's about internal faith and believing in Allah. As Allah mentioned, he said, verily man is lost except those who believe and do righteous deeds. He said two things. They believing in Allah, Ibadullah, and also they do righteous deeds. And they recommend others to righteous deeds or to the truth, and also recommend others to be patient. the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, he mentioned particularly about nearness and getting near to Allah and having Allah near you and you being near to Allah. And he mentioned, and he said, and it said, the Prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him, said, Allah says, when a slave of mine draws near to me a span, I draw near to him a cubit. And if he draws near to me a cubit, I draw near to him a fathom. And if he comes to me walking, I go to him running. And see what happens, just the mere thing, just doing a small thing, is just getting near to Allah. When a slave nears to Allah, just a span, a hand span, just that little bit, and Allah will increase him being near to you. And if we go to Allah walking, Allah comes to us running. And so we need to get as close to Allah as possible, get the protection up from Allah. Allah bless us and bless the good deeds that we do. On the day of judgment, you all will be naked and uncircumcised, standing before Allah, and nothing else is going to matter. Whatever money that you have is not going to matter. Whatever family you come from is not going to matter. It doesn't matter if you black, white, tall, short, pretty, ugly. It doesn't, handsome, ugly, it doesn't matter at all. It's just your belief, your iman, your faith, your deeds that you do. Those are the things that are going to be a matter on that day. And those who are near to Allah, and those who do what Allah says and stay away from those things Allah tells us to stay away from, those are the ones that are near to Allah. Those are the ones that get many blessings on the day of judgment, or be under shade, where there be no shades except for the shade of Allah. We all want to be part of that. We all want to be underneath the shade of Allah on the day of judgment, where there be no shade whatsoever. And we're going to sweat. And a sweat going to come to, a much sweat we're going to be making, come to our knees and to our ankles, to our knees, to our waist, to our chest, to our eye level. That's what's going to happen to us on the day of judgment, because we're going to be so worried about what's going to happen. Am I going to paradise or I'm going to the hellfire? It's no in between. We don't have that in Islam. Either you're going to the paradise or you're going to the hellfire, and that's it. And it's Allah, he mentioned what? If you come to him a handspan, he comes to you a cubit. Come to him a cubit, he comes to you a phantom. You come to him a phantom, or you come to him walking, he comes to you running. So none of us want Allah to turn away from us. We want Allah to run to us, to be near us, that we are near to Allah. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he also said, according to Abu Hurairah, was one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, the dearest parts on the face of the earth near Allah are the masjids, masajids, and the most hated parts near Allah are its markets, its marketplaces. And so we see one being in the places where Allah says that the dearest parts on the face of the earth, the dearest place on the face of the earth is the masjid. It's the place where the Muslims worship. We go there at least five times a day and we worship Allah in congregational prayer, where our prayers are 25 to 27 times greater than if we did them by ourselves. The many, many blessings there at the masjid. We go to the masjid and we sit in a group and we learn it from that particular group where Allah's name is said or mentioned. And the angels surround us and he's asking for Allah's blessing and mercy to be upon those that are within that group. And so there's a lot of blessings for us going to the masjid. And Allah said the most dearest place to him on the face of the earth is the masjid, musajjid. And of course, the most despised or the hated place for him is the marketplace. Because we know in the marketplace, some evil takes place in the marketplace. People still in the marketplace. There was a time before the advent of Islam that people would have different ways of people getting, buying from them, like forced buying from them. One was, this is before Islam. A person, as soon as they touch a garment or touch something, they had to buy it. You touch it, you bought it. Or if there's, or in another case, if you're walking down the market area, you're not doing anything but to walking around the marketplace, and a person throws something towards you and you catch it, then you bought it. Of course, the natural inclination of us as human beings is to catch something that is falling. A clothes, or food, or glass, or a child, something like that. We're going to just, our reflex is going to catch it. And so the people know this. And so they work on your reflexes, and then they go ahead and throw something at you and you catch it. Okay, you bought it. You touch it. Okay, you bought it. But it's been, but that was before the advent of Islam. Once Islam came, and that was in the marketplace, but Islam came, then Islam forbid all those things from, all those things from taking places. And for people to be honest and don't shortcut people. Like you see sometimes, you might even go on YouTube and see sometimes how people shortchange people. Like for example, if you're going to buy a bag of oranges, and so you put, like say for example, you put 8 oranges on the scale and a person weighs it and then it costs X amount of dollars. And then they put that bag that you saw on the scale, they put that down where you can't see it, and then they bring up a bag with less oranges inside of it, or onions inside of it, and they give that to you. Well, you're paying the same amount of money, but you're getting less, because a person is shortchanging you. Or they give you some outdated fruit or outdated whatever it is, and so they're shortchanging you. So a lot of evil that takes place in the marketplace, and this is one of the places that Allah hates. But a place that He loves is the masjid. Going to the masjid the musalla and praying in the masjid is the place that Allah loves and dear to Allah. Also, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, also said by Abu Huraira, he said, Allah, the Exalted, the Glorious, said, I live in the thought of my servant, and I am with him as he remembers me. The Holy Prophet further said, by Allah, Allah is more pleased with the repentance of a servant than what one of you would do on finding a lost camel in a waterless desert. When he draws near me by a span of his hand, I draw near to him by the length of a cubit. And when he draws near to me by the length of a cubit, I draw near to him by the length of the fathom, as I mentioned earlier. And when he draws near to me walking, I draw close to him hurriedly or running. So we see this. Allah, he says initially that he, as we think Allah is in his glory, in his majesty, sitting on the throne of authority or above the throne of authority, then that's how we see him. But remember Allah. Allah remembers us. We forget Allah. Allah forget us. So who of us want to forget Allah and be forgotten by Allah? You forget Allah, don't remember Allah, don't get close to Allah, Allah will forgive you and not be close to you. But you want to be near to Allah, you have to be near to Allah. You have to come near to Allah and worship Allah. And don't turn your back on Allah. Some people are leaving religion and I don't want to have anything to do with it. God doesn't exist. All these things, these are things that people make up not to worship Allah. Okay? On the day of judgment, then you're going to find out that Allah is real. And what I'm talking about is real. And on the day of judgment, your ears are going to talk for you or against you, what you heard. And you're hearing this from me. Or your mouth what you said, or your hands what you did, or your feet where they walked to. And so they're gonna be talking, our eyes what you saw, tongue what you said. They're gonna be doing this freely. You probably say, oh no, tongue, eyes, ears, you're speaking against me. Why are you gonna do this? Say, oh, Allah making me do this. I'm not doing this on my own. So yes, I'm gonna speak the truth. And so we see here, my beautiful students, is that our tongue, our ears, all our body parts ain't going to speak for us or against us. And of course, I spoke a lot about against us, and of course, it could speak for us. Good things that we heard, good things that we said, good things that we did with our hands, good things that we did with our said with our mouths, the thing we places we went to with our feet. So our body parts will talk for or against us. And don't think that anything that you say or you do, no one's seeing it, because you're doing it under the darkness of the night. Or no one's around. You think that no one's around, but the angels are with you. I told you this so many times, that the angel, you have an angel on your right side and an angel on your left side. The angel on your right side is writing down your good deeds, and the angel on your left side writing down your bad deeds. They're always with you. That's their job. They don't take a break. They don't vacation, anything like that. That's their job. And they're going to write it down in your book, and then your book will be shown on the day of judgment, or your good and bad deeds will be listed in your book. And that's the thing that's going to go with you into your grave. I mentioned to you this before. Your family and your wealth and your deeds go with you to the grave. Your wealth and your family walk away from the grave. But your deeds, good or bad, they go into the grave with you. And that's the thing that's going to determine the day which direction you're going. Are you going to the paradise or are you going to the hellfire? One of those two paths you're going on is no in between, and not for the Muslims, no such thing as in between. It is also mentioned, and I'm going to basically saying the same thing, Abu Huraira, he also said, and Allah says, I am near to the thought of my servant as he thinks about me, and I am with him as he remembers me. And if he remembers me in his heart, I also remember him in my heart. And if he remembers me in an assembly, I remember him in an assembly better than his remembrance. And if he draws near by the span of a palm, I draw near him by a cubit, by the cubit. And if he draw near me by a cubit, I draw near him by a space, meaning covered by two hand spans. And if he walks towards me, I rush towards him. And so we see here, my beautiful students, remember Allah is very important. This is Islam. This is what we do. This is what we believe in. And this is what I'm offering to you and I'm presenting to you. It's my gift to you, is what is Islam. That's the best gift that I can give you, is Islam. All the things I'm saying, you don't have to believe me. Look it up for yourself. Go to various masajids, to the places of worship, masjids, and ask the imams there, the leaders there, and ask them to tell you about Islam. And some things are not right when you do certain search sites on the internet. They may not give you the good information. But hopefully you will get good information if you go to the neighborhood masjid, and you call what is called whyislam.org, and they have a very good organization that gives a lot of information about Islam, it's in your Quran, in whatever language you speak, if they have it available, and they will send you basic information about Islam, or you go to the nearest masjid to you, and you ask information about Islam. You want to know about Muslims? Ask a Muslim. Go to the masjid. You don't ask your fellow, whoever that person may be, about Islam, and they may not know any more than you. And it'd be like the blind following blind. You ask a person that may act like they know, but they may not really know. So you go to the Muslims and you ask them about Islam. If I want to know about Christianity, I will go to a Christian. Judaism, I go to a Jewish person. Buddhism, I go to a Buddhist person. Hinduism, I go to a Hindu people. And Catholic, all these things. So that's what I would do. I would go to those who profess that particular way of life and ask them about their way of life. And of course, do some studying on my own and do some fact finding on my own about their particular belief system. And so I want to also emphasize to you to please, to the best of your ability, find out more about Islam and always work your utmost to get close to Allah. Because we never know when we're going to die. We don't know when or where we're going to die, but certainly going to die. We know how much time we have left. So we need to find out as much as we can about, is this faith for me? I remember when I was in the military in 1976, I got out September 1976 out of Army, a United States Army. I got out of there. I was studying Islam when I was in the military. For me, faith I was practicing was not the faith that simply satisfied me. How important what faith it was, but I knew that I could feel Islam. It fit what I needed, and for me, during 5 daily prayers, I remember Allah at least 5 times a day. Where for other faiths, you might remember him once or twice a day, maybe a particular day of the week or something like that. Not as often as Islam encourages one to remember Allah. And so I like that. I like that very much, that it encouraged me to remember Allah and be faithful to Allah and to have a good behavior in terms of having a good character and getting the nearness to Allah and things I do to get near to Allah. And if I remember Allah, Allah remember me. I go to Allah one hand span, He comes to me, close to me. I walk to Allah, Allah runs to me or hurriedly to me. And so you want the same thing, to get that qareeb, that nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glory to be to Allah. All of us want to do that. Allah has created all that we see and all that we don't see. And he does exist no matter what other people say. They said he doesn't exist. But some of those same people, when something startles them or they get in trouble, they say, oh my God, oh God. It's just a natural thing. It's just part of who we are. Matter of fact, before mankind was even created, Allah had mentioned before we even created that we all said, and Allah said to us, he said, am I not your Lord? And we all said yes. Well, of course we don't remember that. And it's all mankind, from Adam to the last man. And Allah said, am I not your Lord? Am I your Lord, the Lord of the world? And we all admitted to Allah, yes, Allah, you are Lord of the world. But of course we change, we start practicing other things and get further and further away from Allah, and we start worshiping other things, material things, people, money, that the whole thing, and so we get further and further away from Allah. As long as you have breath in your body, you have an opportunity to get close to Allah. I'm advising you, I'm giving you this great gift from me to you, the great gift from me to you, and I hope that you accept it. And you will do more studying on your own about Islam, the beauty of Islam, and how Islam shapes the character of the person. I knew that when I was in the military that I needed more than the way I was practicing, and it shaped my character to be a better person, to be a better father, to be a better husband, to be a better person in the community, to help more people, no matter who they are. I don't care if they're male or female. Black or white, it doesn't matter to me. You need help, I'm able to help you, I'll help you. If you're my neighbor, not my neighbor, then I would help you. And that's what Islam teaches, and not to harm other people. And I know by doing these things, and I'm doing it fi sabilillah, in the cause or the name of Allah, that it gets me closer to Allah. I don't brag about it. I don't say, look everyone, I'm giving this person a dollar. Okay, that's bragging about it. I want people to say, oh, look at him and give him a dollar. Okay, so on the day of judgment, I got what I wanted. I wanted people to see me, give him a dollar, and sort of praise me because I gave a dollar. And I got that from the people. They saw me and they praised me. And so I got it. I don't get anything from Allah. If I get it, give it to someone, the dollar, and my right hand or my left hand is doing, my left hand or my right hand is doing, and I just give it just in the cause of Allah, and then I'm going to give it to please Allah. And Allah is the one that will reward me for it. And hopefully get closer and closer and closer to Allah and seeking more and more Allah's blessing, a blessing from Allah. I want to read this last hadith of saying the Prophet Muhammad, peace be blessed be upon him. And it basically say the same thing. It's just so important that different hadith I'm mentioning is that it's just so important that we believe in Allah, as I said in the source or the Asr, believe in Allah, and also that we have a trust in Allah, and we encourage others to do good deeds, and encourage others to be patient, and encourage others to get close to Allah, like I'm doing to you now. And on Jay's Day of Judgment, Allah asked me, Imam Amin, do you encourage people to get near to me? I say, Ya Allah, I did. And you of course know I did, because you know everything. Yes, I encourage them. If they heard my voice, I encourage them to please get near to you and drop some of the other things that they're doing and other things that they're worshiping, things that would not benefit them in one bit. So let me read this last hadith of saying the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And it says, this is Abu Dharr. He said that the messenger of Allah, may peace and blessing be upon him, said, Allah, the blessed and exalted, said, whoever does one good deed will have the reward of 10 like it and more. And whoever does a bad deed will have one like it, or I will forgive him. Whoever draws near to me, I will draw near to him in arm's length. Whoever draws near to me a forearm's length, I draw near to him an arm's length. Whoever comes to me walking, I come to him in a hurry. Whoever meets me with their earth full of sins, but does not associate anything and worship with me, I will meet him or it, his sins, with forgiveness equal to that. So there's a lot of things going on here. The Lord said if we do good deeds, the Lord will give us 10 or more like it. You do bad deeds, okay, Allah will only give us, He will either forgive us of the deed that we do. Or he also mentioned about us getting closer to him, and he's getting closer to us. And also if we meet Allah with the earth, this is a lot of things going on in this hadith. Well, if we have an earth full of sins, Allah will forgive us. And we don't associate partners with Allah, Allah will forgive us. So who cannot afford that? No stock market, anything like that, can you give you that kind of return that you would get. You do one good deed, the Lord give you 10 good deeds. Or the Lord can forgive you the bad deeds that you've done. Or you have a mountain of bad deeds that reaches the sky. Or like the foam on the ocean. So next time, I remember when I was in Spain, or when I go to other places and they have a beach there, I see the foam of the ocean. And it made me think about the hadith, about this saying of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, where he mentioned that Allah will forgive the sins of the person as much as if it was the foam of the ocean. And we know that you stand in the beach, that foam like never stops. At nighttime, early morning, and afternoon, that foam keep coming and coming and coming. And so just think about it. If you have sins the size of the foam of the ocean, next time you go to the ocean to a beach and you see the ocean and you see the foam and foam there, just think of this, what I'm talking about right now. If you have that much sins, Allah will forgive you. Have a mountain full of sins, Allah will forgive you. If you have a sins reaching up to the sky, Allah will forgive you. That's all of it. If Allah will forgive us, we don't associate partners with Allah. And so, how do we do this? We get near to Allah. We ask Allah for guidance, for help. Allah said, you ask of me. Seek help from me. And so this is what we have to do. This is what we must do if we want to get the blessing from Allah and get that nearness to Allah. And so, please, my beautiful students, hear me and tell those who are not present to work as much as possible towards getting near to Allah. Do whatever you can to get near to Allah and not get further and further away from Allah, and always seek the pleasure of Allah. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor or your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.